Wonderful. That's great. Well, if you're here for the first time, I thank you for coming. And if you'd like to know more about the church, this is not a membership card. This is a card to say you would like to know more about us. We send out an email every week of what's happening in the life of the church. And also, that you can put prayer requests, or if you'd like a visit or to meet with one of the pastors or elders, please fill that in before you go. There's a box at the back, and we will make sure that you're contacted and the information that you require, you receive. I have amazing friends here. Ken Grenfell. We've just finished a conference in Victoria, apostolic conference that we were all part of. Some of you came down for that. And can I encourage you, the messages are online. There were two for me that I felt extremely significant for this church. You can listen to them all, but if you'll listen to the Wednesday morning, the first two sessions, and then the Friday morning, those two, go and listen to those messages. They were absolutely life-transforming for me, and I've heard them before, but I tell you, we forget the truths of God, and it's amazing to be reminded. Ken, if you would please come back. The reason Ken's wife is not here is because she has obligations there. She would be here. And Ken has been a friend of mine for many, many years. We have preached together. We have led conferences together. We've been in different nations together. And Ken leads a church just outside Washington, D.C. It's a significant church. I've ministered there. And some of the people in that church, in order for Ken to lead them, Ken had to get special clearance because they are influential. And we can see the dark side of government, but God has Daniels and God has people in every government, including our own, who are standing for God and righteousness. And I encourage you to pray for them. And I just want to thank you, Ken, for coming. And I really appreciate it. Open your hearts to hear what God has for us. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everybody. Just a thank you to Mike and Debbie and the rest of the leadership for the privilege of being here. Thank you very much. Russ and you and Paul and me and names. Forgive me. Okay, me and names. And so it's just a privilege to be here. It really is. God is certainly on the throne. God, I keep telling my wife, when we go through a tough time, He hasn't fallen off the throne. He's the Lord. He's the King. Amen. No matter what happens, that does not change. And the beauty about it is our King is coming back one day. Hallelujah. Eh? I hope you're ready. All right. Who knows? It could be before I'm finished preaching. It really is a privilege to be here. And I just want to give 2 minutes. When Mike asked me to, if I could extend my stay while I was in Victoria and come up and minister here, and just out of our friendship, it always is a privilege. I said, Lord, what is it that you want to tell this church? So I don't just want to come here and preach my best sermon. If I have one. I don't even know if I have one. Or come and whatever. I'm really trying to say, God, those people are your people. You love that church. You love those people. And I just want to be able to come alongside whatever you're doing to help strengthen and facilitate. Nothing more than that. Because it's not about me, it's about you. And as I started to think about it, God began to speak to me. He really did. And then on Friday morning, I had the privilege of just taking some time out this Friday and just making a few notes. And so later on, when I get to preach what I want to preach, I have not preached this anywhere. Not even preached in my own church. It's the first time. It's something you'll be aware of, but it's just something I feel God wants me to speak to you and remind you about. But before I do that, because I'm not too sure what type of ministry there might be at the end, I feel I have a couple of words for individuals and for you as a church. And last night when I was studying with Mike and Debbie, I asked them if Psalm 91 meant anything to them. And they said it does. And the word I have for this church, and let me say, if I give you a word as a church or an individual, please don't take it as, thus saith the Lord. please go home and say, God, is that you or is not that you? You know what I mean? My name's Ken. Hello, you with me? I'm just doing my best in the Lord just to flow with what God is saying. I'm married. I have 3 kids and 4 cats and 2 dogs. You know what I mean? And nobody listens to me except the demons. But so, my name's Ken. So I'm just trying to say, you know, I believe I've heard God, but I can't categorically say I have. Amen. You with me? So I'm encouraging you. I really am encouraging you. And if I have a word for you, I haven't asked Mike or Debbie. They can stand, honestly, they were going to tell me about 1 or 2 people. I said, not yet. So if I do have a word for you, you must know that if it rings true with you, it's not because they've told me something. That's why I don't want them to say something to me. You with me? So Psalm 91 for you as a church. Verse 4 says this, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. I felt God say, that's for you as a church. That He will cover you under His feathers. That He will spread His wings over you. That you'll always find refuge. And every person that comes into the life of this church will find refuge under those wings. And His faithfulness, not yours, His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart for this church. I hope that encourages you. Because God is faithful. We are not, unfortunately. The Bible actually says God is faithful, even when we're unfaithful. Amen. The second thing I felt for you as a church is, I felt God say, my voice will go forth from this place. This place will be a platform for my voice to go forth into this area. And I felt that God is going to use some of you in the worship to begin to put some songs together that will go forth from this place. You have an abundant talent in the area of musicians and some great singers. And I felt God's going to use that to declare something of His goodness into other nations of the earth. That what God is doing here is going to become made known into nations of the earth. Not only into our togetherness as NCMI, but outside of that. I felt like He really wants to use this church as a platform to declare some of His intentions into this nation. Amen. It's a huge responsibility, but God will do it. God gave a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Don't turn there. And the book of Genesis is a book of God watching over His promise to begin to fulfill that. And it's God's dealings with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. That's basically what the book of Genesis is about. And you see, God come to one person, and at the end of the book of Genesis, there's 75. And it's the process of God beginning to fulfill that promise that He gave to Abram. And it passed it on to Isaac, to Jacob, and I said to Joseph. And there's many lessons we can learn in all that. And He promised him a great nation, and He promised him a great land. And then the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges is the outworking of that and fulfilling of that. And how God delivered His people out of Egypt to take them into His promises. He brought them out to take them in. God doesn't just bring you out from darkness. God doesn't just bring you out from the power of sin. God doesn't just bring you out from the dominion of darkness. God doesn't just bring you out from a destructive lifestyle. God brings you out to take you in. You with me? And because there was a promise made to Abram, God fulfilled every single one of His promises. The book of Joshua tells us that. God fulfilled every one. Joshua 21, I don't know exactly where it is. And because there was an eternal covenant made before the creation of the earth, between God the Father and God the Son, that God the Father would give His Son a bride, God will watch over that promise before you and I even came onto the scene. It's an eternal covenant, but it has ramifications for you and I. They'll come back for His pure and spotless bride. You with me? And God is watching over to fulfill that promise. So there's a journey of the Israelites that as they came out and God to take them in, it's a journey. And that journey is often reflected in the New Testament. Paul goes back to it quite a bit. And he uses the things that happened there to speak to the people of that day. God does that for today for us. That we can look at the Old Testament, although we live in a new covenant and not in an old covenant, but the principles and the outworkings and the dealings of God with His people, we can help it apply for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that. They were examples for us. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because God brings us out to take us in. The book of Hebrews, I think Michael Eaton says, it's the theology of encouragement. It's a book about taking hold of the promises of God. It's about what He's taken us out of, but more about what He's taken us into. That's what one of the key verses is, Hebrews 6:12, which says it's through faith and patience you inherit the promises of God. Are you with me? Colossians chapter 1, don't turn there, verse 13 says, God redeemed us from the power of darkness. He pulled us out from under the dominion. He pulled us out. He redeemed us. He rescued us from the powers of darkness. You and I, before we were saved or born again, we were under the dominion of the darkness, whether we understood it or not. He had sway into our lives. You with me? That's why God doesn't come and make bad people good. He makes dead people alive. We were dead before we knew Christ. Now we're alive. It's not about bad and good people. It's about in Christ or not in Christ. It's that simple. Amen. He makes dead people alive. But He makes them alive to take them into something. And the scripture I read this morning in the first service was Romans 5:10. And if you can turn there, please. Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10 says this, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" In other words, we've been reconciled because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a message of reconciliation. We've been reconciled back to our Maker. We've been reconciled back to our Father in heaven. Not by what we've done, but by what Christ did. And I put my faith and trust in it. You with me? Now that I've been reconciled, and I'm His son, and I'm always His son, whether I have a good day or a bad day, I'm His son. Hello? Whether I feel like it or not, I'm His son. Hello? Some days you don't feel like it, but I promise you, His son. If you're born again of the Spirit, you're His son. Hello? If you get out of line, He's going to discipline you because He's your Father. You with me? But He never stops loving you. But now that I'm His son, how much more will He save me? That word save means it's ongoing present tense. I am saved. I'm His. I'm going to heaven. But He has something for me here. He's saving me into something. It's that journey of taking the Israelites out into. It's a process. By the resurrection life that He's put it within. It's not by my power. It's not by my, must try hard. Be good Christian. No, it's by the resurrection life that is within me that He's saving me. It's of Him. It's not by me. I've got to learn to cooperate with Him. Learn to hear His voice and work with what He's doing. And that resurrection life will work it in me, change me, transform me, empower me to the glory of Jesus Christ. You with me? Amen. Ish. Ish. Jesus not only reconciles us to the Father by His death, but He also saves us by His life, a continuing process. If we trust, believe, adhere to Jesus, not only for the death he died to redeem us, but also for the life he lives and wants to live in us and through us. That's why Paul said it is a profound mystery. It's a mystery of all mysteries. God in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because in the dispensations or the ages or whatever word you want to use, God came to man at intervals. He came to Abram. Then he withdrew. Then he came to him again and spoke to him. And then he withdrew. Then he came and gave him another promise. Then he withdrew. And so God, Abram had these encounters with God. But he still trusted God. And then in the Old Testament through Moses, God was with man in the form of the cloud and the pillar and the tabernacle and his presence. So he was with man. But in the New Testament, God is not coming to us or with us. God is in us. Much more greater revelation. That's a profound mystery. Paul said it's the mystery of all mysteries. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Resurrection. You have eternal life in you. That's why I say to people, you have the life in you. You're not going to eternal life. You have eternal life in you. It's just this body is going to die and change. Then I get a new back. Hallelujah. Then you must see me play golf. Ma, all right. So, but it's this journey. And when I first got saved, I came out of an environment I never put foot in my church. You know, any church. We never spoke about God in my family. I was 33 years old. I thought I was living a great life. Married two kids, but living like a bachelor. It was wonderful. Out with the boys every night, playing sport. Had a wife to come home to that cooked and looked after me, and she never moaned or complained. What better life can you have than that? But destructive, going downhill fast. You with me? Then God miraculously saved me. He called me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. You didn't choose him. You didn't do him a favor by giving your life to him. I promise you, you didn't. You responded to his invitation. Come here. You're mine. That's all it is. It's not a debate. We either respond or we don't respond. You with me? And I got radically saved. I tell you, folk, I got so radically saved by the grace of God. My life turned upside down. That 9 months later, I was in full-time youth ministry. Never am into Bible study, Bible class. But I even promise you, I had to go after I got saved to ask somebody, what does the Bible look like? They said, it's got a holy Bible written on the side. Buy one of those. So I loved Jesus with all my heart. I couldn't wait to tell other people what he had done for me. But I had no theology. I had no understanding of what he had saved me out of and what he was taking me into. But I loved him with all my heart. And as I progressed and walked with him, he's revealed that to me. You understand what I'm saying? It was already done, but he's revealing it to me ongoing. And that's what he does for you and that's what he does for a church. It's a journey. You with me? Now, this is what I feel God wants to say to you. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Just had to paint that picture. Book of Exodus. Let's go to Exodus 14. I feel like you as a church, you have spread. Good. Not like me, you're spreading this way. But you've spread. Your sphere of influence has spread, even in the city, even in this island, even in Syria. You've spread, and that's a delightful thing. But I feel like God wants to take you deeper. So that as you continue to spread, there's going to be a greater depth about it. You with me? The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 16, 17, that you might know this love of God, how wide and how broad, but how deep is this love of God. And you know this love of God that surpasses knowledge. How do you know something that surpasses knowledge? You know it by revelation in your heart. Amen. And I believe God wants to take you into a depth of things with Him. So, in Exodus 14, 15, 16, and 17 is where God spoke to me about you as a church. Exodus 14 is where they've come out of Egypt, but they're about to cross over the Red Sea. But they can't get across the Red Sea, and you know the story. And then Abram has to put his staff, not Abram, Moses has to put his staff out, and the water divides. You with me? And they go through the Red Sea. That is for me, and Paul says in the New Testament, that is a prototype, or that is a sign or a symbol of our salvation. We're coming out of Egypt. We're coming out from the clutches of darkness. We're coming out. We're going through the waters of baptism. You with me? All right, so let's go to Exodus 14. You'll see it there in the end. Verse 28 says, the water flowed back, covered the chariots and the horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. People, let me tell you that when you are truly born again and redeemed, you have been set free. You just don't understand it all. You haven't applied it all. The enemy, the works of the enemy have been destroyed. He's been cut off from your life. Don't allow him access again. You can give him access again, but that's up to you. But as far as the Lord has done, just like the Israelite army, they drowned. The Egyptian army, sorry, thank you. The Egyptian army, they were dead. Drowned. Hello? You with me? The work of the devil has been broken off you. You are set free. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. It's simple what I'm trying to say. And you didn't do it by yourself. They couldn't open the waters. They couldn't open the Red Sea. It had to be a miraculous thing. You are saved miraculously by the grace of God. It's a supernatural thing. That's what it is. It's incredibly supernatural. And this is where I feel God wants to commendate you as a church. I feel like God say, tell them I want to give a commendation over to them. Because you've done so well as a church in influencing even the surfing thing. Where's that couple? They're going to do the surfing thing. One, you take the grace and the love of God into areas of society like surfing, like the other things that you guys are busy. And I feel God say He wants to commend you in that. Commend you in the way you've infiltrated into society with a purpose of loving people and showing them the love of God. Even the thing you had at the jazz thing or whatever it was, the music thing or whatever. I remember coming here and went to one of those and I had to wear earplugs or whatever the case is. It was loud, but it was great. Even that, and people misunderstood it and saying, how can you allow that being played here? No, because they're not coming to us. We've got to go to them. And I feel God really, I don't know how to put it, like, I don't want to patronize you, but saying, well done. Well done. Don't stop that. Continue with it. Have that heart. You with me? Well done. Well done. You've gone into society. You've taken who you are and the gifts you have and the surfing abilities and this ability and the sewing ability, whatever ability you have naturally, and you've used it for the glory of my kingdom, for the glory of my name. Business, whatever it may be. But then I believe God will say, now I want to take you into more as you continue to do that. So let's carry on reading Exodus. What is the first thing that happened as they came out? I know Miriam sang a song and whatever the case is. Go to Exodus 15, verse 22. This is the first thing that happened when they came out of Egypt. So it's the first thing as they come out of, we get out of kingdom of darkness. Verse 22, it says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. So they've just come through the waters of baptism. How did Moses know how to lead the Israelites? Help me. Come on. How did he know? How did he know where to go? By the cloud. So God was leading them. By the cloud. Just watch the cloud. Oh, there goes the cloud. All right, we got to go. There it goes. Now it stops. Oh, I've just packed up the pots and the pans. Now I've got to put them all out again. And you just have them out. And you put the kids down and get all the sheep and the goats and find a place for them. And you're just about to sleep in the cloud. Oh, no. Off you go. And you think, please, we just about, do I put these down or don't I? Way. Ah, yes, good. And as, oh, there goes the cloud again. Think about it. 3 million people moving them. You had to be some leader to do that, particularly when they moaned and groaned and complained permanently. Permanently. They didn't stop moaning and groaning and complaining. Thinkers did it. They always were moaning, grumbling, and That's what leaders do, boy. Take people where they don't want to go. Yeah. Take people where they don't want to go for their benefit. That's what they do. So Moses led them from Israel, from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Sir. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Then they came to Moriah, and they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Moriah. So the people thanked Moses. No, they didn't. They grumbled. What are we to do? What are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. And the Lord made a decree. When the Lord makes a decree, he's establishing something. That's what he's saying. He's establishing something. He's making a decree over his people. He's establishing and a law for them. And he tested them, and he said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and if you pay attention to his command and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. So what is the first thing the Lord showed them after their salvation? I'm the God that heals you. Jehovah Rapha. Isaiah 53, he bore my sin and he bore my diseases. Same word. As much as God saves, he heals. You cannot separate those two. So, I believe God is saying, press on in that area. You have seen some healings, but I believe God wants to bring more as you persevere in it. Lay your hands on anything that is sick before you go to the doctor. Amen. And as you press on, just like you pressed on with infiltrating society and you're starting to see the fruit of it, I believe God is saying if you press on in this, you will see increase in healings. Amen. It's the first thing he established for them. The first thing he said, I'm the God that heals you. And it's very interesting. Although they just went around the desert because they wouldn't listen. But the Bible says not one of them was sick because he kept his decree over them. Even though they didn't enter the promises, not one of them feet swelled up. Isn't it amazing? God watched over their health. That's something we have to wrestle for, people, but it's done in the eyes of the Lord. I said to this morning, I just recently had surgery, but I believe in healing with all my heart. Amen. Die if you need to, die believing. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. If you die, die believing. I'm serious. That's what Hebrews 11, some of them didn't receive the promises, but they still believed. Because the next generation, you've just fought a battle for them, they'll walk into it. If they don't, the next generation will. If they don't, the next generation will. So some of the battles you fight for your kids. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's carry on reading. What's the next thing God revealed to them? Chapter 16. The whole Israelite community set out for Elim, came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. Notice they haven't got the law yet. God hadn't given them the law, the Ten Commandments. Notice none of that's happened. Verse 2, in the desert, the whole community thanked Moses again. No, he grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. What a lot this was, eh? There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you brought us out in the desert to starve us. Imagine leading people like that. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In that way, I will test and see whether they will follow my instructions. And if you read further down, he sent the meat in the evening. He gave bread in the morning through the manna and meat in the evening. What does that speak to you about? What is the bread that we eat daily? Hallelujah. That's what it is. And I believe the Lord is saying, the more you can get this inside you, the more you'll come into your promises. The more you'll experience what I have for you. Let me ask you a question. How do you know it's God's will to heal? Don't tell me because Russ said so, or because Paul said so, or because Mike said so, because it's written in you, and you're convicted in your heart. That's how you know. This is what you stand on, not what he said. Amen. So God will open this up to you, people. This is living. It is living. When this becomes rhema in you, it has powerful effect. So Jesus said, bread, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of my Father. The Pharisees said, yeah, but our forefathers ate bread, manna. You can't do that. And then Jesus said, no, but my Father can give you living bread. Living bread. You with me? So now he's redeemed you. He saved you. You're his child. He says, now, well, part of that package is your health. But part of that package is I'll speak to you. I'll feed you. I'll edify you. I'll encourage you. I'll strengthen you. I'll lift you up as you get into my word. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I know it's more than I'm saying. I'm just putting the highlights. The power of God's word, it's powerful, people. That's why only twice was Jesus astounded when he walked the face of the earth. Only twice. The Bible says he was astounded. And was not with two Gentile people. One was a Roman centurion. He said he was astounded at his faith. Because the Roman centurion said, just say the word, it's done. Just say it. You don't even have to come to my house. You can stand 100 miles away, just say it, it'll be done 100 miles over there. That's what happened. Because God's word travels through air. You don't have to be there for the poor. That's what Paul said. Even though I'm chained, you can't chain God's word. It'll just go out of your way. Amen. Now imagine how powerful it is. Imagine if you get that inside you, what it does to you. What's the next thing God revealed to them? Still haven't got the Ten Commandments. Chapter 17. What did he show them there? The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they thanked Moses again and said, give us water to drink. No, they didn't. They quarreled. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord God to the test? But the people were thirsty for water then. They grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us out? Sometimes I feel like, Lord, why did you save me? My life is so tough now. It was fine now. Now I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But why am I going through this? Oh, woe is me. Don't worry. I've been there myself. Trust me. let me tell you a little story quickly. I was probably saved about a year and a half. And I came to understand very briefly something of the healing. I was just learning it. I didn't understand it fully. I didn't have all the... And my wife got sick. She was very sick. She was lying in bed at home. I will never forget, it was a Sunday night. And she said, I think I need to go to the doctor. And me, man of faith, amazing, I wasn't sick. She was sick. Don't worry, we're not going to take you to the doctor. We're going to pray for you. She said, okay. So I prayed. How are you doing? She got sicker. So I said, no, hang on, we'll hang on. I walked up and down the passage. I walked up and down, up and down. I came back into the bedroom. How are you doing? As I said, how are you doing? Yeah. I said, oh, no. Walked up and down. I'm serious. Went home for about 4 hours. She got sicker and sicker and sicker. I took this, I'm not proud of it, and I threw it against the wall. I said, God, you say you're healed, but look at my wife. And I was angry. I was angry. I had to repent later on. Eventually, I ended up taking my wife to a hospital. And when we got to the hospital, they did a blood test. And they said, the wife was very sick, but she's turning. She's getting better. She's already turned. But she was dehydrated. Amazing, eh? Now, I'll never do that in my life again. Let me take it, not somebody else. You know what I mean? If I get sick, I'm the one that has to stay, not her. How can I put it on her? But in my naivety and my passion, that's what I did. You with me? I'm not advising that. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not advising that at all. And so it's a process God allows us to learn. He develops us. It's a process, people. You've got to be patient with yourself. Be patient with one another. Everything that little sweet little kid, that little girl, whatever, in the faith. What a precious kid. Everything God has for her in the natural, her ability, her sporting ability, is already inside her. It's already been given to her. That's what happens when you're born again. You get everything. You just don't know it yet. How to work it out. You with me? So, what did they do? So, they bring us out of the desert to make our children. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What do I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." Verse 5. The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go, I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of Israelites, the elders of Israel, and he called the place Mesha and Meribim, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested God. What does that represent for you and me? He struck the, they're already saved, they've tasted of Christ, now he strikes the rock, and living water comes gushing out, and they drink of it. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that they come through the sea, and Moses struck the rock, and living water comes out. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a living water. Jesus said, "I'll give you living water that will burst up like a fountain within you." You with me? You and I have to understand, folk, that that's part of the package deal. Everybody said, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus come to do? He came to destroy the works of the evil one. He came to reveal the Father. He came to seek and save the lost. He was the Lamb of God. That's what he said. He came to train 12 men and more men. But they forget something else. He came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's part of his ministry. Hello? You with me? And so God wants you to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. It's what He wants you to do. That's what He wants. He wants you to walk. You don't earn it. It's a gift. Walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Understanding what it means to be Spirit-filled. You with me? There's a lot more we can say about that, but I won't. What is the next thing that happened? What is the very next thing that happened after they drank from the spiritual rock? What does it say? Chapter 17, verse 8. Somebody read it for me to keep you alive, awake. Sorry? The Amalekites came to attack them. That's the first time they faced war. The minute you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will come under incredible attack. Who are the Amalekites? The enemy. They attacked the Israelites. The Amalekites are descendants of Esau. The natural man. Natural man attacks the spiritual man. Your earthly nature, or the flesh, or the socks, whatever word you want to use, is opposed to your spirit man inside you. And it's a conflict that wars within you from day to day. That who's going to take preeminence? What I want, my old nature, or the nature of God that is within me, the divine nature that is put within me? That's what that represents. Because God, if you see, He said, "I will be at war from generation to generation against the Amalekites. Tell Joshua, I will be at war, and one day I will completely blot out the Amalekites. One day there won't be a sinful nature." Hallelujah. But while you live on this earth, who was his name? Leon van Dalk. Not my pants is not going to fall down. Leon van Dalk put it this way. It's like a little snake. You need to take it, wrap it up, you put it in the box. You put the lid and you stand on the box. Your old nature. But the minute you stand off the box, that little thing comes out, boy, and it wants to grab hold of you. That's the sinful nature within you. But you have been given a new nature, a divine nature. You participate in the divine nature. Go read it in Peter. Peter says that's the promises of God, that you can participate in the divine nature. You've been given a new nature, the nature of Christ, resurrection life, eternal life, the nature of God, whatever word you want to put. You've been given it. It's inside you. We've got to learn to live from which part? The spirit man that's within us. And that's a process, learning that. So spirit man has dominion over my emotions, my will, and my intellect. And they don't have dominion over my spirit man. You with me? That's a lifelong journey, people. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit. That's simple. You're not the weird stuff we see. And how you'll know it's you're walking by the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. You'll know them by the fruit. That's how you know. And you know the hardest place to learn it? At home. Because my wife knows where she can. And she knows when she's, what's going to come out of my mouth. not toothpaste. No, not toothpaste. Hello? You with me? That's the real place to learn it. That's the real place to learn it. So when she hits a certain point, then you can respond in a good way. But you learn it. It doesn't come overnight, people. You learn it. Be patient. But say, Lord, I'm willing to learn this. I'm willing to learn this. I'm willing to work and live by the spirit man that is within me. And the other thing it represents, you can't do it by yourself. It's a whole team involved that destroyed the Amalekite. It was Moses, Aaron, Hur, Joshua, and army. That's where we need one another. A team. Accountable to one another. Love one another. Confess your sins to one another. That's how it happens, people. You with me? That's why fellowship is so important. Because you won't live it any other way. So those are the things I believe God wants to take you into in greater measure. See, the law hasn't come yet. 10 commandments haven't come yet. We have all those in Christ. All of those in Christ. Amen. So as you spread out, he's going to take a little deeper in some. Some of you are called to pursue healing. Some of you are called to understand what it means to really walk in the Spirit and help others. We're all called to do that, but some more than others, if you understand. Because it's just part of your gifting. It's just part of who you are. Just like this young lady can sing. I can't sing like that. When I open my mouth, people are run, boy. Because there's a gifting, there's an anointing. You with me? You need one another. God has incredible things in store for you as a church. He really has. But He's established you in the whole area of salvation. He's established you and He commends you for the way you've reached out to people and loved on people and embraced people and welcomed who's ever come. They didn't have to be cleaned up before they walked in here. God commends you for that. He really does. And for one or two, that He wants to take you deep into some of these areas. So if you're not saved today, God wants to give you salvation. If you don't understand a thing on healing and you need healing, God wants to begin to do that with you today. If you don't understand, God, give me a love for the Word. I need to give me a love for the Word. Ask God, give me a love for your Word. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you've saved, but you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I don't have time to go through all that. Say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. And if you're saying, Lord, I need to learn to walk from the Spirit man that is within me, teach me that. Teach me that. Teach me how to do that. Amen. Mike, you want to say anything? I hope this has encouraged you. This is the word I had for you.
Thank you. If we could have the worship team. I know it's running a bit late. God bless you. Some people have obligations. Please open the back doors there. Some people work and have obligations. Family.
Sorry, went on too long.
No, it's wonderful. But if you can stay, I really believe God wants to settle some things in our heart. And it's interesting that Ken mentioned the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Last night I was reading on that, and I really feel that's something that needs to be taught into, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. And so I feel next week that's something that we will camp in, because it doesn't matter what I feel or what you feel. What it matters is what does the Word say. And I ask you, to come with an open heart to hear what God says. But not only that, to search the Scriptures for yourself to see if it's true. That's what the Bereans did. Because God has a power and anointing that He wants to release in and through His Spirit. And we'll look at the difference between the indwelling Spirit at salvation.
Good.
And being endued with power from on high.
Good.
And we'll see how that happened in the early church, so that you can understand that and receive it by faith. But before we go, I just felt this man is an incredible prophetic gift. And Ken and I have ministered together, and it's just such a wonderful privilege. I've often preached, and he's come with the words of knowledge or vice versa. And I really feel that God has something that God wants to release prophetically over us. He flies back this afternoon. So if you can stay, if you just allow the Spirit of God just to minister through Ken into our lives.
Okay.